On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, I gotta tell
you. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, how are you? Good to be with you today on this fine, beautiful, I don't know what it's like outside. Who cares? You could be listening to this program in your boat, in your car, in your bassinet. I have a really big following of babies. I do, infants. They love me. I pick them up, they gurgle, they burp. Everything's good. I breastfeed. I still breastfeed to this day. Anyway, how are you today, you crazy person, you bat of the eyelash, you little flick of the finger, so-and-so you. Today's show is going to be a little bit different than other shows. Oh, really, Ron? Every one of your shows are really messed up. How can it be any different? Well, you're right in that sense. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have time to argue. I'm too old to argue with you. It's not worth my time anymore. I can't change your opinion. And that's what I want to talk about today on the program of enormous proportions, which is this show. It's huge. This show is huge. We have entered into an agreement, I guess. Marketing company that has been employed by our broadcasting network here. So all of a sudden, we've noticed that we are picking up listeners in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, which was the target of this marketing company, and they're doing their job, apparently. So I need to welcome the new listeners to the program, which means by default I need to step up my game somewhat. So this is my game stepper upper. And if you've noticed, it doesn't exist. This is pretty much the same kind of crap I've been doing every day. So whatever. But we welcome you in the different sectors and markets all throughout the country of the United States of America and also the territory of Puerto Rico. Hi, how are you? When I started doing this thing, it's very, very funny, actually. When I started doing this show, this podcast, about 3 years ago now, almost, when I was doing the broadcast radio, it was just the Boston area and south, and it was between Boston and Providence, and we had a good number of listeners, and that was wonderful on the broadcast radio. That's the radio that you turn on a radio and you hear me talk, that radio thing. And it was always AM radio, quick little stint on FM, but my voice sounded too good, so that was like freaking me out. Sounded better than it actually was, and I just said, whoa, that's Twilight Zone. How can my voice be better than I actually am? That's freaky. So I stuck with AM radio. I did that for 20 years, and we had a good amount of listeners, you know, sitting in their bathtub, and I was always hoping the radio might fall into the tub and electrocute them. At least I would have an impact on people that way. And then when the last radio station that I was with went under, because they all do eventually, I went into this podcast thing, and I didn't know what podcasting was. I thought you would be talking about beans all day because of the pea pod thing, but apparently not. And I thought nobody listens to this crap through a computer. Then all of a sudden, you start to get internet radio in cars and boats and things like that. And then with the onslaught of the smartphones, you could listen to broadcasts or podcasts or whatever, anywhere, any place, any time. And then when they did with the full data thing, the free data things for most of these cell phone companies, it was like, well, wow. And then the habits of people were not to listen at a particular time. When I was on the regular radio thing for a couple of decades, you had to tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when I came on the air. And I was on like from 8 to 11, 8 to 10, and some stations in the morning. I was doing a morning show for them. And it involved news and all, blah, 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 blah. But someone had to have their radio on at that time, listening to that station, otherwise they wouldn't hear me. And it was rarely repeated, if ever. So then this podcast thing, I thought, that's pretty cool, because apparently with these millennials and everybody running around like chickens without heads, which is a disgusting picture as far as I'm concerned, I figure, well, people, like they want to listen to the show when they get home, they want to listen to the show in the afternoon, you know, when they get home early, maybe in the morning when they get up getting ready for work, maybe they can't sleep at night, they want to throw me on at midnight, I'll put you to sleep, there's no doubt about it. I can be used. I thought, well, this podcast thing is pretty cool. You can listen anytime you want to any episode whatsoever. And as you know, on New England Broadcasting, on our site, you can listen to shows going back 2 years if you wanted to, if you happen to. They're all right there. So I thought that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's been really, really nice. And it also afforded me the opportunity of not only speaking to a certain region of a sector of people's geographical locations, but now I can open it up to like the whole world. So I was doing podcasting for about a month at that point, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And on the podcasting server that we use, it tells you how many people are listening in what states and what cities and what countries, and if they're listening to it on a smartphone, if they're listening to it on an iPad kind of thing, or a Android or whatever. I don't know that stuff. And after the first month, we had a fairly good size listening audience in Scandinavia, in Denmark, and in Sweden. And I thought, what? What about me? And then I thought, my last name, Van Dam, which is kind of Dutch, maybe that's what they thought they were. Maybe that they're listening to an ancestral Dutch person or an ancestral Scandinavian. I don't know. That was really weird. I felt like talking about whaling stories and things like that, you know, in the midnight sun, which is, I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you. I guess, I don't know, it's impossible. In any event, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. In the many years that I've been doing broadcast radio and this thing, I always, in my mind, and also throughout my life, and I don't know if you're the same way I am, you might be, you may not, I have a frustration, and it's not sexual. The frustration is understanding what other people are thinking and why they do it. And I always feel that in my life, I need to have a grasp on everybody. I need to understand why they do things, how they do it, and what their motivations are in order to do them. And in almost all cases, I get a little tinge of it. Now, we're all different. You're you, I'm me. That's different right there. We have different likes. We have different dislikes. I happen to like chocolate ice cream. I think it's a fantastic thing to eat. Many other people like vanilla ice cream. Vanilla's fine. It's a tasty little thing. But I always prefer chocolate. And then there are those people who just love vanilla, don't care too much for the chocolate flavor. And I sit there and I go, how can you possibly not care for the chocolate flavor? Everybody likes chocolate. No, not everybody does, Ron. And that's been the frustration of my life, is trying to figure out why people are so different. How is that possible? Because we're all human beings. Why is it that some of us are Republicans? Some of us are Democrats. Some of us are pro-life. Some of us aren't. Some of us think that the planet could be destroyed someday because we're polluting it. Other people think you can't destroy the planet. There's no problem with that. Well, you're crazy. We have differences of opinion. I understand religions pretty much hands down. I get that because there are outside mitigating circumstances that make one go toward a certain religion. And the biggest reason would be that you were brought up in that environment. Your parents are that religion. You were brought to church. You were brought to synagogue, whatever the place may be. You were brought up in that environment. It becomes a part of you. See, I get that. I get that. I understand why some people are religious and some people are totally not at all. I totally, totally understand that. And you just leave those people alone, because you can't talk somebody into a religious belief. Unless you've been incarcerated, you're in jail, and you find Jesus. That's different. You're in jail. What else are you going to do but find Jesus? I mean, because it's all over the place. If I was sitting in a cell 24 hours a day and all I had was a bed, a toilet, and a sink, and a crayon, I'd find Jesus too, probably. I mean, seriously, what else is there to do? So I get that. I get all those motivations. But here's, right now, I am so totally frustrated because I don't understand the Donald Trump phenomenon. I get it, but I don't understand why other people get it. And here's what I mean. Poor example, Le Mans, which is French for the shoe is leaking. I totally understand people's frustration with government, with politics, with the way the country is being run. I totally 100% understand that. By the way, the people who say, I understand it by 150%, or I'm going to try as hard as I can. I'm going to give it 130%. You people are fucked up. Technically, I guess you can say that, because if you have a dollar and then you have a dollar 30, you have 130%, perhaps. I don't know. I really don't know. I kind of sucked at math. But I kind of understand that part of it. But as far as giving an effort, you can only give everything that you have. You can't give more than you have. That's just stupid. All you're doing is making a point that I'm giving so much of myself, which is all of me, that I can even give more than even I actually have. I'm going to borrow from somebody else's efforts and bring them into my efforts and make it more than 100%. All right, so that's a stupid phrase. So I understand. I understand totally why people are angry with the government. And I am as well, too. I mean, totally. I'm totally angry. Everybody in Congress is just ineffective. And even if you're a good congressperson, a congressman, a congresswoman, you're still totally ineffective because the people around you are ineffective and you can't get anything done. And I totally believe that the president can't do anything. And as soon as the president does something on his own, then everybody says, you're not supposed to do that. That's not the will of the people. Yeah, but nothing's happening here, man. Nothing's happening. We're just sitting here like masturbating at each other's face. I mean, we're just not doing anything here. I get it. The country is going backwards with our racial discrimination. We're going backwards with our economy. The infrastructure is falling apart. That whole international being the leader of the world, which is crap to begin with. Every country that is the leader of the world eventually falls. It's the empire mentality. It don't last forever, so let's not play games there either. But I totally get the dissatisfaction by the American public. What I don't get is how that dissatisfaction turned into supporting Donald Trump. That I do not get. And I'm not going to sit here and Trump complain for the whole hour, because I would sicken myself doing that. By the way, I am so sick of Trump's face, it's not funny. It's really not funny. I am just probably two nights away from having nightmares about him, or waking up and finding myself in some mad, passionate menage a trois, and Trump is one of them. There's me, a girl, and Trump. I'm just two nights away from that nightmare. And I don't want it to occur. And I take medications in order to make sure that doesn't occur. So I get the dissatisfaction totally. Totally. I get the anti-establishment uproar totally. But I don't get, as I said, how that translates into supporting Donald Trump. Doesn't mean, just because government isn't doing anything effective, and there are government shutdowns and filibusters, and they actually go out of their way not to do stuff in order to destroy the other party. Both parties want to destroy each other. It's a war between parties, and we're all sick of that war, but we're participating in it, you see. I don't understand how you can be sick of something and angry about something and yet participate in the very thing that you're angry about. And I'm not talking about voting. I'm talking about representing or voting for candidates that are the thing that you don't like already. Trump is very, very rich. He uses his money to embetter himself and his companies. And that's the thing that we're fighting against, but yet we're supporting him. And he claims he's not a politician, but he's doing all the politician stuff. He's got the demeanor of an angry white man, and he has made comments about how he really places women in society. And yet he claims he loves women. He claims that the Latinos and the Mexicans love him. He claims that the Bible Belt loves him, even though Trump doesn't know the terminology. I don't understand why those people latch on to Trump. And I go out of my way every once in a while when I've had a bit to drink. And again, I drink only to do research for my new book about people who go to bars. It's the only reason I do it, I swear. I will have conversation at bars with people who are Trump supporters, and I will say, look, I don't want to argue politics with you. Could you please explain to me why you support Donald Trump? And their answer is virtually always the same. But it's an answer that just angers me. And the answer is, because he represents all the things that I believe in. He says the things that I can't say and don't say, and he says it publicly. He is my mouthpiece. I see. And then I discuss it a little bit further, and then they start separating themselves from many things that Donald Trump does. Yes, I do believe that there are immigration problems. I don't think the wall is going to solve them necessarily, but it's better than nothing. And I don't really like the way he's obscene and curses in front of millions of people and yells and screams and makes stupid comments and makes so many mistakes and is so egotistical and misogynistic, and he expresses himself, it's disgusting. Then why are you supporting him? Because he represents me. I said, well, why? And I don't think these people totally understand either. I think these people get caught up in what I call a modern day cult. I would love Trump someday in front of one of his mass audiences at one of his shows, as he calls it, by mistake, and they started admitting, yes, it's a show. I would love it if he said, tomorrow night at midnight, we are all going to drink cyanide, and people from another planet will gather us up and take us to a finer planet where we can all exist and be happy ever after. That's tomorrow night at midnight. Bring your cyanide container. We'll be selling them outside, and we're all going to drink at the same time and wait for the spaceship to come and get us. I'm kind of figuring that most of those people would show up the next night and drink the cyanide. And I really feel that's the case, because Trump himself said to his own flock, I could murder somebody in the streets of Manhattan and probably not lose one supporter. And he was right. He probably could murder somebody, and somehow the supporters would say, well, yes, he had a right to murder them. They're annoying, and they were attacking him, and he had a right to murder. There's nothing Donald Trump can do to lose supporters. That's called a cult. Blindly following the leader. That's called a cult. And I can say this to a Trump supporter 1,000 times over, and rather than respond to me, they will simply look into my eyes with some type of, yearning to somehow break the bond that glues them to this man. They don't know why they follow him. Trump's campaign supporter a few days ago said himself, Donald Trump is presidential. He can be presidential. And when it's time for him to be presidential, you'll see that he'll shift and he'll become presidential. And all this yelling and screaming and all these obscenities and all these high school bully terminologies like Crooked Hillary, Lion Ted, all these high school bully terminology terms won't exist anymore. Trump himself said, when I'm president, I will no longer be tweeting in the middle of the night because that's not presidential. That statement alone showed me that this is a fucking dangerous situation. Then Trump went on to say, his campaign manager, I should say, went on to say, when you see Trump at these rallies, his campaign manager said, this guy Paul, he said, when you see Trump at the rallies, that's not him being president. That's not him being Donald Trump. That's him performing for the crowd. When you do rallies, you have to do a performance. That's not him. He's putting on a character. And he can stop putting on that character at any time. But he does that for the rallies in order to entertain and to do the rallies. And I thought, so he's a genuine man? So he plays the part of things to incite people and get votes, and then he becomes somebody else? What are you talking about? This entire conversation that I'm having with you is based upon the fact that I understand Donald Trump. He is a millionaire. He says he's a billionaire. He's egotistical. His comments are insane. He makes comments based on things that he saw on the internet or heard on a news show. He doesn't fact check anything. He's wrong about over half of the things he says. That's a fact. He's wrong about over half of the things he says. They are not based on truths. He doesn't quite know what he's going to do to fulfill the things that he says he's going to do. He simply states what he's going to do and doesn't explain how he's going to do them, or if they're even feasible to carry out, or if he can even do them as president anyway. But his followers don't care about that stuff. They only care about the show. And if you're a Trump supporter, some of what I'm saying is probably ringing true to you. Others, you're saying, Ron, you're totally wrong. This man, Trump, he's a businessman. He knows how to run businesses, and therefore he will make this country economically great. He stands up to people internationally. Yes, he does. But here's the difference, my friends. The president of the United States does represent us, and that doesn't work. The man is not presidential. His personality will overtake him every time. His ego will overtake him at any time. If a congressperson or a leader of another country says anything to him that is not within his ballpark, he will malign them. He will call them poo-poo pants. He will incite them emotionally. He will be a problem. And I don't believe he can ever win the presidency, because even if he turns, well, when he's running against Hillary in the general election, he will definitely attack her. And this attacking high school bully Donald Trump will once again come out, probably even in a higher level of obnoxiousness. So, my friends, I sit here today still trying to figure out what this Trump cult is all about. And I think I've got it figured out without insulting too many people. I think I've got it figured out. And I think the bottom line is he's a television star. I watched The Apprentice for a couple of seasons, and I found Donald Trump to be obnoxious on those shows. I never found him to be an icon. I found him to be a typical boss. And this is also what I don't understand. I've worked for a lot of companies before I got into radio and television. Regular companies, 9-to-5 stuff, had a staff, managed them, hired, fired, that kind of thing. I had supervisors myself. Donald Trump reminded me of everything that was bad about business. That my supervisor could just turn around, point his finger in my face and say, "You're fired, get out." Which is probably the most demeaning, obnoxious thing that can happen to a worker, is to be pointed at and saying, "You're fired, pack your stuff, get out." Donald Trump is all of these things. He's a manipulator. He's a rich man. He's the head egotist of the entire world. And yet, somehow, people find him to be A, entertaining, and B, responsible. They want someone who can point at somebody and say, "You're fired." But these are the very people that are not sensitive in the workplace. This is the exact type of supervisor, manager, president I wouldn't want to work for. I want to work for a man that's compassionate, that's understanding, has emotions, understands that I have a family, and firing me has consequences. Nobody should ever point their finger in somebody's face and say, "You're fired, get out." This is Donald Trump. This is what he did in his show. So I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed how the working class man and woman can look at this man and want him to be in the White House, when if he were your boss, you'd probably want to smack him in the face. This is the man that represents bullying in the high school schoolyard, calling other kids names in order to intimidate them, in order to get their way. The high school bully that all throughout this country we're establishing anti-bullying laws. And here's a man running for president using the vehicle of bullying his opponents. I don't understand it. Because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Leadership is maybe 30-40% ideas. It's 60%, at least 60%, attitude, demeanor, and professionalism. The president is a diplomat, is an individual that can bring people together from both sides of the aisle, from black, white, Puerto Rican, whatever your background, whatever your color, whatever your financial status, rich, poor. The president should be the diplomat, the person that speaks sense, brings it all together, has sensitivity. This man is none of those things. He is the anti-thing. So as I sit here today at this juncture in the program, I continue to be amazed. And I still search for a Trump supporter to satisfy my curiosity as to why you choose this man. And the last reason may be because there's nobody else to choose. If you're a Republican, you'll never vote for a Democrat. I get that because it's the war of politics in this country. When we war internally, we lose externally. We spend so much time battling ourselves within that we knock ourselves down so that when we go out into the world, we are embattled, we are fatigued, we are confused, we are not one, we are divided. This country is very divided in its social aspects and its political aspects. And it's sad. Anyway, that's it. The saddest thing is there's nobody apparently that is better than these people. Somehow in this vast country of well over 300 million people, we can't find one person that we can almost all agree upon is the perfect person to do this job. Not one steps forward. Do you know why? Because the process has become so debilitating, so embarrassing, so draining that anybody in their right mind wouldn't want that job. And I want someone in that job who is in their right mind, so it just doesn't mix. It just doesn't work. Okay, I feel better.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Okay, we're going to speak to a guest right now who happens to be a television celebrity. It's not Donald Trump. She's appeared on How I Met Your Mother. Her name is Allison Hannigan. And she has a situation. They find these celebrities who actually have situations to help us understand them. I complain every time I do this show almost that I have allergies. Always think it's cold, never is. Couldn't be a cold for 6 years. Must be allergies. I don't take pills every day for them. I rarely take an allergy pill at all. I guess it's not that bad. But for some people, the allergies are incredibly debilitating. And I'm going to take the time right now to talk about it.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Allison Hannigan is a film and television actress, as you well know, and Dr. Patricia Gomez-Dinger, M.D., is a board-certified allergist and, of course, a television star as well. Well, maybe I got that part wrong. Anyway, welcome to the both of you. Allison, how did you get involved in talking about allergy suffering?
Well, I've been an allergy sufferer all my life, one of the 50 million Americans with allergies. I'm sort of a natural person to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because allergies aren't funny, so I want everybody to go to allergiesaren'tfunny.com and learn more about it. And they can also register to win a Dyson, which will help with allergies. We were just talking about all the things that I was doing to help control my allergies.
Yeah, we were just talking about how important it is to do some environmental controls around the house. Mm-hmm. And so having a Dyson Rainbow would be really good. Any kind of vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter is recommended.
Yeah, because I was saying how as I've gotten older, they've definitely calmed down more. I said in the Buffy days, you can hear in certain episodes, you just can't even understand me. My nose is
very nasally. I didn't notice.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's very cool that you can refer to part of your life as the Buffy days. I can't do that. I guess I could do that, but it wouldn't sound right for me to say that. How can you prepare your environment, your room, your house, in order to suffer less from allergies? What kinds of things should you be doing to make it more compliable?
So it's really important to know what it is that you're allergic to, because then we can target the environmental controls based on that. So we were talking about if you have dust mite allergies, you want to do some dust mite controls in your home. So dust mite encasings on your mattress and pillow, that's very helpful. And if it's environmental allergies like pollen, which is really prominent this time of year in the spring, then having a HEPA air purifier in your bedroom, trying to stay indoor, taking a shower and rinsing out your nose and even your eyes if you're having a lot of eye symptoms during this time of year, especially if you spent a lot of time outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really need to go discuss it with your own doctor, because what works for me is going to be a lot different for, you know, the next person. Like, my husband has different allergies than I do, and it's not really about, like, staying in a bubble. It's about managing your symptoms, and your doctor can work out a program for
you. Absolutely, and being on the right medicine.
Exactly.
The environmental controls, it's really important. The first thing is to definitely see your doctor, find out what it is that's triggering your allergies, and that way they can help you pinpoint what the best treatment for you would be.
Yeah, you don't have to suffer.
No, absolutely not.
You don't have to look back at your Buffy days and say, oh, I couldn't breathe that day. It was
only I had some good allergy medicine
had I only gone to my doctor.
Oh, the Buffy days. Most of us just go to the drugstore and look at the over-counter area, and we just take pills. And actually, my doctor actually said that to me. They said, go to the drugstore and get this thing. And I thought, I don't know, is that right for them to do, or should they find out what's causing this, or what?
Absolutely. I think there's some really good over-the-counter allergy medication out there, but I think it's just really important to still get some instructions from your physician as far as how often to take it, which ones would be better than others, and really depending on what your allergy season is, knowing when to take it is really important. Mm-hmm. So still, I think even though that you have good access to good over-the-counter medicine, I think it's still really important to see a board-certified allergist and really find out what it is that would be best for you.
Yeah. Doctor, if I didn't do anything about it, could damage be caused to my actual health and body?
Yes, absolutely. So if your allergies go untreated, it can result in sinus infections, bronchitis. Oh. So allergies can definitely turn into infection. And so that's why we want to make sure we work on preventing you from getting to that point. And so knowing what you're allergic to, starting on the right medication at the right time, all of those things will be helpful in preventing further symptoms.
Okay. So Allison, tell me about this campaign. Where do I go, and what happens?
Yes, so you go to allergiesaren'tfunny.com, and you can learn all about everything. You can register to win a Dyson vacuum, which will definitely help with your allergies.
Yes.
And it's the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, and Teva Respiratory. They're all working to do this allergy intervention and help people, because allergies are not funny.
No, well, they're not. No, well,
they're annoying.
Yeah, but there are some allergy jokes that are pretty funny, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about making yourself, because it really can affect your lifestyle and stuff if you're not at 100%. You can kind of drag through your days and not really be productive and have a pretty crappy life.
Absolutely.
All right.
And also not being on the right, you know, medicine or whatever you choose to do.
That's true.
Can also affect you.
I've been there before. Yeah. It's made me feel worse than better, as a matter of fact, sometimes. Okay, so it's allergiesaren'tfunny.com. Thank you so much for your time, the both of you. I know we're short of time today. Continue to go out and ring the freedom of truth.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Freedom of truth. I don't even know what that meant. Allison Hannigan, How I Met Your Mother. I don't know how I met your mother. You must have insisted upon it. Television show that's not on the air anymore, but had a nice successful run. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back tomorrow with another program. That's not a promise, that's a warning. Please join me then. Until then, I wish you peace. Peace. What's your face? I sure do. I sure do.